ready and to be able to give us something from his word. And Brother Jack, he's not able to teach much anymore. I think he's doing something over in George's this morning, but he's having a hard time breathing. So pray for him and pray the Lord help him. Brother Jack's a good teacher, and he's a blessing. I appreciate him being here. What a blessing he is. I'm glad he came to our church. And he said one time, he told me, so I'll never join another Baptist church, and he joined ours. So, but what a blessing. I was watching this spelling bee the other night. These kids, spelling bees. I was trying to spell the words. Man, oh man. And I'm telling you what, it's something else. I have a hard time with cat and mouse and that kind of stuff. But them boys, it was like, I don't know, 50 kids, but they eliminated them. A bunch, and then two boys got down to the end. There was a couple girls, and they eliminated the girls. I always thought girls smarter. I really did. I thought girls smarter than guys. But that, I guess that ain't the case. But anyway, these two boys, they're Indian, look like Indian descent. And I tell you what, I was amazed. I'd get the first two letters about right. And they called this one kid the machine. He was 11 years old. And Indian descent, I'm the machine. They said, why do they call it? They said, the reason why they called him the machine, the guy just stood there and never quit. And he was right every time. And the other kid, it was Indian descent, his brother won the spelling bee a year or 2 years prior. When he'd spell the word, whatever it was, and then he'd go, and then walk him back. He had this form about him where he did it. And but I sat there, well, I was amazed, them boys, at 11 year old, they both of them boys tied. And they went through 25, after everybody else eliminated, then they had to go through 25 words each. And they had to try to eliminate each other. And one time, the boy that was, they called the machine, and the kid was so amazing that the guy would give him the word, and he'd say, that's a noun. That he said that's from a German language, and he would tell the guy where it was from. And the guy would go, yeah. And he said, that's Spanish, from the Spanish roots. And the kid was doing it at 11 years old. I said, they must have locked that kid in the room and put earphones on him, and he never left the room.
I bet you he don't have Facebook.
No, he probably doesn't have time. And that's funny, you talk about Facebook. I saw a woman at Chick-fil-A when I was in Florida. I was telling Michael Shane them this morning about it. And I saw, it's amazing how people are sitting there taking, I said, what would you think about me as your pastor if I got up there and see me on Facebook? I'm going. Samson came by yesterday or Friday. He said, look at this, Dad. I got me a, I said, what's that? He said, that's a selfie stick. What? He said, so when we go on vacation, he said, I don't have to have somebody come by and say, can you take a picture of me and my family? I was like, yeah, okay. But this woman's sitting in Chick-fil-A, and I'm going through the Chick-fil-A line, and I'm getting something, you know, and then I look back in the rearview mirror, and she's ordering her food, and she's going, and she's taking pictures of herself while she's ordering. She wants to see her lips move. I thought, man, brother, society has gotten crazy. Crazy. And some of we was talking about it this morning, Michael Shane and I, he said, what do you think's wrong with teenagers? And I said, I believe social media, man. I believe it. I really do. I think it's all how you use it. It's all how you use it, but the kids, they've gone overboard with it. And some people, like, you know, I said, Jack Patterson is a king of pictures. These guys, matter of fact, Jack called me and said he's coming by next Sunday. But guys are on Facebook and taking pictures of themselves. And then they go like this. Then they do this. They streamline. They say, hey, how many followers we got? How many followers do we have? Oh, yeah, we can do it now because we got 4 or 5 followers. I don't understand all that stuff. I just don't want to. You said, well, you're stupid. You don't understand. Maybe so, but I tell you what, I ain't got to. I'm too busy messing with that stuff, man.
You're not vain enough.
You're so vain. No, it's just amazing how people get so caught up in that stuff and self. That's what it is. And I'm just amazed over it that people would do that. Like I said, you wouldn't think highly of me if you seen every time you got on Facebook, you said, oh, there, look what the preacher's doing now. And I just ate a Chick-fil-A, and I just had this sandwich, and boy, I'm telling you what, it's the best sandwich I've ever had. If you want to get a good sandwich, just go down to Dover Chick-fil-A, and I mean, their iced tea is so sweet. Mom, I'm telling you. Oh, my Lord. You must have a lot of time on your hands to do something like that. Where was I? When I was so rude and interrupted. Revelation 5, that's where I wanted to go to. I was looking for something else I had. Anyway, pray for my wife. This Saturday is going to be the memorial service for her daddy. And got family coming and stuff like that. And you know how it is, dealing with family. And the thing is, she's got half brothers and sisters that are coming, but her dad left everything to her. And she's got half brothers and sisters, and her dad, and she was his only daughter, and her brother died. And her dad didn't consider the other kids that mama had as his own. So she's worried to death about it. She's worried to death about, they're going to say something about it and all that stuff. And I said, hey, that's the way your dad did it, and don't worry about it. Your daddy took care of that way, and that's what he wanted. And so she's worried to death about it. And I prayed with her the other day. She was just, everybody goes through it. Everybody goes through a death of a loved one. You gotta face it and deal with it. And it's always hard when it's your own family. It's always harder. I've preached a lot of funerals, and I've wept of a lot of people. I've cried, and I've wept, and we've had people in this church that I've, Chelsea, I didn't think I was going to ever get over Chelsea. For 2 years, I mean, I mourned over Chelsea. Chelsea was like my granddaughter. And so there's a lot of people I mourned over in this church that I love, and people here sitting here, I love you. And it would hurt me. It would hurt me to see when Danny Hall died. Mark McGay called me up. He was hyperventilating, crying, and we cried together. We love Danny, and we love each other, and that's the way it should be. Amen. I don't have no hatred towards nobody, man. And you grow as you, when you're first a young preacher, you go through stuff. You get mad at people. You get on, but I want to see everybody succeed. I want to see everybody do good. Amen. And then I hear about somebody doing something stupid. I go, oh, man, why in the world they do that? Stupid. But I don't hate them. I want to see them be used by God. Revelation chapter 5, and it says, I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And you think about that book written. We can liken that to the Word of God, and it probably is the Word of God. And Doc used to say the 7 seals that got on the back of the Word of God. And it probably is the Word of God. And you say, would that be in King James? I don't know. We'll get to heaven, we'll find out. It could be more than likely Hebrew. More than likely Hebrew. But the King James Bible came from the Greek text, the Hebrew text, Latin. He says, I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Here we are sitting here this morning. We got a Bible in our hands. Amen. You can look at it. Amen. You can read it. But up in heaven, when they pull the book out, it must be something really special. And it has to be the Word of God. And they pulled that book out and they said, who's worthy to open the book? No angel stepped up and said, I'll do it. And look what it says. No man in heaven nor on earth, neither under earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Couldn't even look at it. Here we got Bibles sitting in the windows of the cars. You got all this stuff, you know, we got hundreds of Bibles everywhere. We don't even look at them. We don't read it. And that's going to be a terrible thing to get to heaven and you haven't read your Bible. Amen. And you haven't spent time in the Word of God. And now Jesse's got an excuse why he can't look at the Word of God. But when Jesse first moved down here, he had a volume of the Word of God, which was in Braille. I mean, it was so heavy you couldn't even carry the thing. It was a bookcase. It was heavy. Now, that thing was probably 100 and some pounds. Can you imagine him taking the Word of God, hitting you with the Word of God? And now Jesse listens to it on his phone every morning. He's faithful about every morning. He gets up and listens to the Word of God, and he listens to it. He's sitting in that chair. I sit in my chair, read my Bible. My wife sits in her chair and read the Bible. And I find if a person spends time in the Word of God, you won't be discouraged as much. You won't get down as much. You'll be in the Word of God. You won't have time to. You'll think about what heaven is and what, you know, where you escaped hell. We're singing them songs about the blood, and that's what I want to talk about this morning, a little bit about the blood. And he says, no man in heaven or in earth. And I'm going to tell you something. That book in heaven's got the blood in it as well. They always say this Bible is a bloody book. It's a bloody book. It's got blood in it. That's why all the new religions, all of them trying to get rid of the blood. They don't want the blood. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that the blood of Jesus Christ has any value at all. Mormons don't believe that the blood of Jesus Christ has any value at all. They'll mention, they'll talk to you about, they'll try to persuade you, but and the Catholic Church doesn't believe that the blood of Jesus Christ has any value at all. There's religions that don't believe that blood has any value at all. And there's a guy named out there in California who says the blood of Jesus Christ had nothing to do with our redemption. He's crazy. He don't know what he's talking about. The blood of Jesus Christ has everything to do with our redemption. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The blood had to be shed all the way back. Whenever I hear that song, is the blood still there? Is the blood still there? You know, talking about the blood on the doorpost. Every time I hear that song, man, I go, whew, thank God for the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ washed away my sins. And without the blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. And thank God, I mean, when was the last time you said, thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood for me? You know, Jesus Christ emptied himself, man. The blood of God washed away my sin. And it says, no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither look thereon. And I wept much. This is John the Beloved, weeping because nobody was able to open the book. And like I said, you got a Bible in your hand. You got a Bible sitting there you could read every day, and you can get to know it, get to know the Lord God of the Bible. And being your father, get to know him better. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Now, that's got to be some book. That's got to be some book. And that's the Word of God. And one of the elders, and like I said, I want to say this to you. Have you ever thanked God for your Bible? You know, without the Word of God, we wouldn't have a church. Without the Word of God, we wouldn't have what we have. Without the Word of God. And today, people take it lightly. They take the Word of God very, very lightly when it comes to what they believe. I was reading David Gibbs' magazine, the CLA, and he was saying, you better know what you believe because you can get up there and say, well, I think it says, or if you ever had to go be hauled into court for what you believe for, what you really stand for, he said, you ain't going to say, well, I kind of think it's there. He said, that ain't going to work. You got to have Scripture on what you believe. You better know the Scripture for what you stand for. He said, preferences is one thing, but having the Word of God is another. Amen. You can have all kinds of preferences that you want this and I believe this. I'll tell you this, I wouldn't die for preferences. I wouldn't die for preferences. I mean, I wouldn't die for a woman wearing pants. I wouldn't die for that. I wouldn't die for that at all. There's some things, there's some preferences in people's lives that they have. I wouldn't die for some preferences. I'd die for what I believe. I believe this book. I love this book. Amen. I'd die for the book. You know, Christians in the dark ages died for this book. They were burned at the stake. They suffered for that. But people get preferences going, and they think because of my preference, everybody has to follow my preference. That ain't the way it is. You follow what the Word of God says.
Amen.
And I never forget. I was talking to Sam Gipp one time, and I said something about something, and Sam says, "Well, I have some convictions that you might not have." He said, "But I'm not going to shove them down your throat." He said, "I have some convictions that what I believe, I'm not going to shove them down your throat until you." And some people, you got to realize, some people, I'll get to the blood here in a minute. Some people get to this level. You got to get to a level, and what happens is, it took us 20 years to get to this level, and we think if a person just gets saved, they got to be at our level. It took you 20 years to get there. And now, maybe it shouldn't have took you 20 years. Maybe it should have only took you 4 years to get to where. But it took you 20 years to get there. And then what happens if somebody gets saved, been saved for a couple of years, then all of a sudden we try to make them fit in that, and you need to pray for them. And they start reading the Word of God, they'll start seeing things. That's what happens in Christians' lives. We get to the place where we get so spiritual that we want everybody to fit in our little box. We got fit right there. And that's not the way the Lord sees it. You think about what Jesus said about. He said, what was that? It just popped in my mind. I'll come back to it in a minute. It just popped in my mind. But the Lord talked about people being weak and not having those convictions as others do. And I'll think of verse in a minute. Look at verse 5. "One of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." I can't wait to see the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, have prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. The only one worthy in heaven and earth and under the earth and wherever is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, who can tell me who that is? It's Jesus Christ. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is Jesus Christ, the Root of David, have prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Here's the Lion. He's a lion, and then he's a lamb. And you know what I thought about? It all depends on how you approach the Lord. He becomes a lion or he becomes a lamb to you. It all depends on how you approach him. The Lord can be a lion to you or he can be a lamb. It's how you approach him. He says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as he had been slain, and having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth." They were talking about the seven spirits of God the other night. "The seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." Isn't that something? Here, Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne holding the book. So that's God. Then the lamb is before the throne as one slain there, and then the lion comes up. The Lion of the tribe of Judah takes the book. That's going to be something. That's going to be something to see. Seven spirits of God sent forth in all the earth, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. You know what? I heard about one of these translators translated the King James Bible. When they got to God or Jehovah, or when they wrote Jehovah or Elohim, they wrote that down with their pen. They would wipe the pen, wipe it off, dip it again, and then write the word and then wipe it off and dip it again. A reverence for the Word of God. And that's where we don't have today. Don't have the reverence for the Word of God. People in the world don't have reverence for it, but even Christians don't have reverence for the Word of God anymore. We don't have reverence for it. And it says, "When he had taken the book, and the four beasts, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." There's that brother Lee was talking about that going into the temple. One thing he was talking about when he's going into the temple, coming to his gates with thanksgiving. Before you come into the gates, but then when you come into the tabernacle, there's a brazen altar. First thing you deal with is hell. You deal with sin. You deal with those things first. And then you come in, once you deal with your sin, get that thing, and then you come in with thanksgiving, praising him. But it says, full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And, you know, we're going to get to the blood here in a minute. But you want your prayers to smell good to God. And if it's just like the selfie generation, if all we do is, I want this and I want that, and I give me this, give me that, that stinks to God. especially when there's people around the world dying and going to hell, and you haven't prayed for a soul in a lifetime. Haven't prayed for nobody to get saved. Haven't prayed that God give me a soul. I want a soul. I want to see somebody get saved. I told you at the beginning of the year, I want to see 20-some people get saved this year, me personally. But if you go fishing, you got to really go, want to go fishing and have the right bait and all that stuff. You got to go out and do it. But you want a soul? God, say, Lord, give me a soul. I was trying to witness everybody I come in contact with. If I come in contact with, I want to talk to them about the Lord and bring up the Lord. Tell them how good God is. Now here we're going to get, it says in verse 9, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. That's a song. They sang a song. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy. Take the book. And to loose the seals thereof. Can you see Jesus Christ standing before the congregation on the sides of the north? First seal. Second seal. Third seal. Then the Bible tells you in Revelation there's seals that he's going to release on this earth. He opens the seals. And it says, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by what? By thy what? Blood. By thy blood. He says, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Isn't that something? The blood of Jesus Christ. He says, redeemed us to God by thy blood. So you get a Bible that takes the blood of Jesus Christ out. You get a religion that doesn't believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. Then there's no salvation there. There's no redemption there. There's no forgiveness there if it's not by the blood. A lot of people think they go down to the Catholic Church and they bow down and they, you know, and it's something how when they come down, the priest will give them a wafer, but they won't give them any wine. It's supposed to be the blood of Jesus. They don't drink the wine. The priest drinks the wine. They don't give the people the wine. They don't do that at all. That's why most of the Catholic priests are alcoholics. But God washes in the blood. He says, they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood and out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. I get letters back here. I was just reading this morning about needing Bibles to go to Peru, going to South America. And man, there's so much of a need everywhere. Everywhere we look, there's a need. Everywhere. It's almost overwhelming of the need that's needed everywhere we go. When it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to getting people saved, there's such a need. But what happens is we all flesh, we can think about is going on vacation or taking it easy. And that's what we think about. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking a little time of rest. There's nothing wrong with that. But all we think about, we don't pray for souls. We don't pray for people to get saved. We don't pray for God. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for mercy. Lay your head on your pillow at night. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a bed to sleep in. Thank you for the air conditioning running, God. Thank you for all the things you've given me. And we don't thank him like Brother Lee was saying the other night. You don't thank him. There's no praise in your mouth. There's no thank you and praising him and start rejoicing. And then there's peace that comes with that. There's joy that comes with that. The blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says they sung a new song saying, and you know, I've noticed here on Sunday morning, we come in here and I noticed on the singing, I'll pace back and forth and George will be, I'll look out at people and I watch a lot of people don't sing. They sit there and they look around and they don't participate. And that's a time when the congregation is supposed to participate in worship and praise. And I watch people, they don't praise. So that tells me if somebody's not singing, and they're not praising that. They're not reading their Bible. They don't appreciate their salvation. They don't appreciate all. But what happened? You said, well, preacher, you don't know what people are going through. No, I don't. You don't know what burden people might be carrying. I don't. I went to the hospital to see Miss Bonnie the other day. Miss Bonnie, they want to operate on her brain because they're saying she's got some tumor in her brain. Miss Bonnie's got all kinds of health problems and everything. I wish I could fix everybody's problem. My thing is, I just want to fix everybody's problem. I just want to be able to help you and be able to, you know, I know, I say, man, God, all the need, all the people that suffering, all the people, the Lord knows. I remember forgetting Mike Roberts. I've told you the story before. I was watching that video of Mike Roberts in Vietnam. And Mike Roberts said when he first went to Vietnam, he said all he did was his wife thought he was going to put him in a mental institution. because all he did was cry for 6 months. He couldn't even hardly function. He cried every time he seen people. And what happens is over time, we get hard. And he said when he was in Vietnam after a couple years, and he showed a video, he's shown this clip where he's riding in the front seat talking to the driver. And I forget the name of the driver he always had. What was the name of that guy? Cook or something like that. No, it wasn't Gook. It wasn't Gook, but it wasn't. But he named the guy. And he said, and then they had a video, and he's showing the guy, and he comes around, his little daughter's in the back seat. And then he shows a beggar on the street. And the beggar had, the guy was in the war, Vietnam, he was a Viet Cong, and has arms blown off and his legs blown off. So he's on the corner begging for food, begging for money. And they showed that guy on the corner. Oh, he had a pair of shorts on. That's all, you know, because he had no legs. And he's out there in the hot sun, and he's begging. And Mike said he says this in the video. He said, when I first came to Vietnam, he said, all I did was cry. My wife thought she was going to have to put me in a mental institution because I was crying. I was so overwhelmed seeing the suffering of people. He said, what happens is it's like a cop. You harden yourself to things. You have to have a balance. I realize that. If you get overburdened, man, you can get so overburdened with things. I mean, you hear summertime's coming. You got all this. You got your job requires you to work longer because of daylight saving time. I mean, you got more time. Your wife wants you to spend more time with the children. You got young couples in this church, which is thank God. But you got to have a balance. And you need to spend time with your wife. You need to spend time with your children. And you look out the door, and the grass needs to be cut every week. And you got a weed whack. And then you got the car needs to be fixed. And you got this needs to be fixed. And that needs to be fixed. And the spigot's broken. It's leaking. And you got all this stuff. And then you get overwhelmed with stuff. And you go, my Lord, God, man, isn't there a break for the weary, man? And you get so overwhelmed that you just, and Mike Roberts said this. He said, his daughter said, Daddy, go out there and give that man a dollar. And the camera went back on his daughter. He said, honey, I ain't got time for that old beggar. I ain't got time for that old beggar. He said, my daughter convicted me more than any preacher could ever convict me. He said, my daughter said, well, Daddy, why did we come to Vietnam for? Why did we come here for? And he said, he turned back around and looked at his daughter and went, he said, I got mad. I got mad because my daughter convicted me so bad. He said, I went over there and showed him getting out of the car. He walks over and takes the dollar and goes, here, man. Gets back in the car and they drive off. He said, my daughter convicted me. I thought about that night. That scene kept playing through my head. He said, I crawled out of bed that night and got on my knees and said, God, I'm sorry. Man, we lose focus. You lose focus. You get so caught up in things of this life. And they sung a new song. You ought to have time to praise the Lord. Ought to have time to give him praise. We come to church. I mean, this is a set time. We come to church in this building. We come in here to hear the word of God. We come in here to praise the Lord. This is a set time. We need to do it. But we also need to do it as we drive the car down the road, as we go down doing different things. But thank God for the blood. I mean, I wanted to start out talking about the blood this morning and talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you got a Bible that doesn't have the blood in it, there's something wrong. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 1. Look in John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, I mean. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. This is how important. You said, well, this is elementary. It is. But sometimes you got to go back. Think about those things. We get so caught up. You know what it is? We want prophecy. We want what's going to happen next. What's going to be here? What is Israel going to do? What is Syria going to do? What is Egypt going to do? Well, I was reading over in Isaiah about what, you know, Egypt and Israel is going to get together in the millennium. And Assyria, all that. You read, people want to know. And you know why? The Bible says their people are heady, high-minded, and they want more knowledge, but they don't do nothing with what they got. All they want to be able to do is go by and say, you know what's going to happen next? You don't know what's going to happen next. You feel, well, that's in the Word of God, but you don't know what's going to happen next. God's throw a wrench in your plans. But people get so caught up, they want prophecy. They watch these guys on TV, and they say, I'll tell you right now what's going to happen. Israel's, and, oh, man, why don't you just do your job? Tell people about Jesus Christ. Try to win. If you believe the Lord's coming back, you believe all this stuff's going to happen, why don't you tell somebody about the Lord? Get caught up in, you get caught up in prophecy and all that. And I'm for prophecy. I'm for studying the Word of God. I'm for learning new things. But man, listen, you need, some of folks need to go back to basics. Amen. Go back to basics. Thank God for the blood. Start praising Him for His goodness. Yeah, praise Him for how, man, He puts up with us. Amen. Sometimes I ride down the road. I'm not kidding. I ride down the road and I say, Lord, how in the world do you put up with us? I read about Israel. I said, look at them sorry dogs. They couldn't even stay right for 20 years. Some people can't stay right for 2 hours. You argue with your wife. You're fighting and all kinds of crazy stuff going on. You can't even stay right. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Fellowship. Light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. When I got up this morning, I took a shower. Man, a shower feels good. Hot shower. I like a hot. Boy, I like it steaming hot. I like my preaching hot. I like my singing hot. I like to praise Him hot. I like it. I'm a glutton for it, man. I like it. I like to see more of it. I like to be around more of it. But I also like to, I like it when I get clean before Him. Samson was showing me a picture of him when we went down to Dr. Upman's funeral. Samson got saved at 4 years old in the old building. And that's where the classroom used to be. We used to be sitting in that classroom. If you listen to some old tapes of Doc teaching, you hear bottles falling over, hitting the floor. And that was in the old building. And we'd be sitting in that building. And Brother Sutek, One Sunday, vacation Bible school, I forget what it was, Brother Sutek came in there as a shepherd. And Samson was like 4 years old. All the kids were in that room. And Brother Sutek came in as a shepherd, but he had a sheep he brought in. Brought the little lamb. Actually, he brought a little lamb. And he brought this little lamb in, and he was telling them the story about the lamb being slain and Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and how His blood washed away all your sins. And Samson showed me a picture of a guy in the, over right behind the pulpit like this, praying and crying. And I said, and he said, that's me, Dad. That was the spot that I got saved. And I was just crying there, thanking God for saving me. Now, I can go back to the spot where I got saved. It was in the parking lot of Riverdale Baptist Church in Riverdale, Maryland. Linda and I went over there, and we pulled around the back where I got saved. Linda got saved in front of a house there going towards, what's the name of that area? I'm trying to think of the name of the area. Greenbelt, Maryland. We were going to an afterglow. They called it afterglow. After church, they went and had fellowship at somebody's house after church on Sunday night. The teens would go, or the young college and career. And they would go, and they probably had probably 100 in the college and career class. And so Linda got saved in a guy named Vic Junkert's car. He was a youth pastor. It was an old, like a Vega or something like that. She was in the back seat, and I got out, and I said, you get in the front seat. I told her, you get in the front seat. I got in the back seat, and I had to put the seat up, and I told Vic, tell her how to get saved. And he told her, and she was ready. She asked the Lord to save her right there that night. And it was in the parking lot or in the driveway of a afterglow house. I probably couldn't find the house now. But Samson went back and he was taking that picture saying, that was the place I got saved. You can never go wrong by being thankful for what Jesus Christ did for you, washed you in the blood, and just keep it simple, man. Keep it simple. Yeah. If you don't, you'll get so high-minded and knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And thank God for knowledge. Dr. Upman had knowledge, but you know when it came down to teaching, he was just simple, plain, just where you could get it over. He could go out there and blew us apart, taught and blew us apart. But he just got up there and taught it plain, simple, just so people could get it. And We got to keep it simple, man. Keep it basic. The blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood. I've never get over it, never want to get over it, for the blood of Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look in Colossians chapter 1. Basic stuff. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 20. Colossians 1. I say you ought to read the New Testament at least once a year. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Is it hot in here to you guys? We're gonna have to get the other AC going. Is that one on? Yeah. We're gonna have to get that other AC going today. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, and having made peace through the blood. The Bible talks about peace through the blood. It says peace for the blood of his cross. And I've had people say, what happened to that blood, that Jesus Christ, all that blood that spilt, or not spilt, I hate that, that he shed there at Calvary. What happened to that blood that fell on the ground? What happened to it? You know, the Bible talks about the ground opening up itself in Exodus and swallowing up people. I believe God has some way to retract that blood out of the ground. He had some way to get that blood out of the ground. Jesus Christ presented it to the throne. And man covered the universe with his precious blood. You know, we read over in Exodus where the priest had to go in once a year. The high priest, you read, and the Bible says Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 9 is our high priest. And it said, and he carried the blood in. And when Jesus Christ went into the Holy of Holies, that's why he told Mary, don't touch me. Don't touch me, Mary. I haven't yet ascended to our Father, your Father. Don't touch me. She would have defiled him. He had to be clean. A priest had to have everything clean. And when he went in to present the blood, and Jesus Christ took his own blood, God's blood. The Bible tells us it was God's blood. And I'll show you that in a minute. But look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, to him, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Now take your Bible, look in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It was God's blood. That's why it's so precious. God's blood, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. The Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, they don't believe that. They don't believe that that was God's blood. Exodus chapter 20, look at verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. Talking about preachers now, pastors. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, to all the flock. You know how many pastors do not believe this? They don't believe this. They're not being oversight of the flock. They don't care about the flock. Look, it says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost. Talking about pastor, I was talking to Brother Glenn Stocker last night. He said, can you believe this pastor? He's a King James Bible believing pastor. He said, I was talking to him a few years ago. He said, the guy just turned 65 and he retired. He said his wife had made money, and he was looking forward that when that money matured, then he was going to retire. And once he got that money, he said, I'm out of here. And in a way, I realized the pressure on the pastor. I realized that. I realized the stress and all that. I know that. I know all about that stuff. But Glenn said he looked at that guy and he said, Brother Allen, I almost said it. He said, the guy was like 61 years old. Because Glenn asked me last night, he said, how old are you going to be? I said, I'll be 60. He said, man, you're a youngster. He said, I'll be 62. And he said, you're just a baby. And I said, yeah, I'm a baby. That's right, I'm a baby. And we'd mess around talking like that. And he says, there was a pastor down here when he was 62. He's telling me, I can't wait till I'm 65. I'm going to retire. And Glenn said, and you have to know Glenn. Glenn will flat out say what he wants to say. He'll flat. And that's Texans. And Glenn said, I almost said it, Alan. He said, I put my hand up in my mouth. He said, I almost said, why don't you just do us a favor and quit now? If you're waiting to 65 to get out so you can have your money right and all that stuff, he said, why don't you just quit now? Because all you are is a hireling anyway. Why don't you just quit? You're in it for the money. God have mercy. Look at here. Take heed, therefore, unto these. You know how many pastors are in it for the money? They don't want to work. A lot of guys try to get in full-time work so they don't have to work. They don't want to work. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had what? Purchased with his own what?
Blood.
Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Amen. All right. Let's stop right there. 5 minutes up. I'm going to get George to hook up the other air conditioner real quick. All right. Father, thank you, God, for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. We can sing those songs about the precious blood. Lord, thank you for shedding your blood for us. Lord, I don't even like that song book when it says he spilt it. You didn't. Spilling something is by accident. And Lord, you shed your blood. You did it on purpose to wash away our sin. Lord, thank you for that cleansing power, that precious blood. Thank you for it. Save that soul now. In Jesus' name, save that one nearest hell today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.